today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and of Luke. We have chosen the chapter in Mark, which is the second chapter. And we find that Jesus again entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised around that he was back in the house, and multitudes of people resorted unto this house where Jesus was in. In all probabilities, it was the house in which Peter and Andrew dwelt. I spoke to you several weeks ago about this city, Capernaum, that it was richly blessed by the ministry of Christ, and that he had performed many miracles in this city, and that this was his dwelling place. He went from city to city to speak and teach and preach and do miracles, but at nighttime, he usually resorted back to this city, Capernaum. And now we find him again, after some days' absence, he came back into this city, and it was noised around, and all the people in the city seemed to have been waiting for him to come back. For they all came to this particular house where Jesus was in. They all gathered in the house, and there was so many that they didn't all fit in the house. The house was crowded with people. Even in the doorway of the house, the people stood. And many of them came to hear Jesus speak. Many likewise out of curiosity to see whether he would perform a miracle or not. Others, they brought their sick and their afflicted to him. And in this way, there was a great multitude of people listening to Jesus preaching the word. It's a mercy when multitudes of people come to the house of God and long to hear the word preached, read, or taught. It's a great blessing that we still have this, that God has given us the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that people come to listen and to be taught, and likewise pray that God would bless it to their immortal souls. We have then in this house Jesus, the teacher, the preacher, and the healer, speaking to the people. There was a great quietness in this house because there were no sound systems like we have to carry the voice even to the doorway. So people had to keep still to hear what Jesus had to say. And now while he was busy speaking, there came four men who carried a man on a bed who was sick with a disease called palsy. These four men, they probably were friends of this man. This man, he was totally disabled to do anything. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do a thing. He had to be helped in all things. And these four men, they revealed their kindness, their mercy towards this man that was so afflicted. In all probabilities, they helped him many times in his affliction. This teaches us a lesson. Do we know some that are afflicted, some likewise that are afflicted with this dreadful disease, palsy? Let us help them a helping hand. Let us be kind and affectionate to them. These things are so far away from us many times. We live in our own little life, and we forget those that are, by the hand of God, afflicted in this way. These people, they showed that they had love to this man. They brought him to Christ. This man was afflicted with palsy. Of this disease, palsy is what affects the muscles and the limbs of people. We have various kinds of palsy that come upon people in this life. I could name probably five or six that I know of myself personally, in which I've looked up a little bit. In the first place, we have what we call infantile paralysis. This affects many a person before they're even born, that they have this. Some are afflicted while they are being born. Others are afflicted after they're born. Children that have infantile paralysis, they very seldom live over the age of 6 years. Looking up in the book, I found that there are in the neighborhood of 10,000 children afflicted with this dreadful disease every year in the United States. There are 550,000 people afflicted with this disease called palsy. We have another disease which one of the members of our church has. At the present time, there are no members, but it's called multiple sclerosis, another dreadful disease which afflicts people and takes away their sense of feeling. Sometimes it takes away their hearing, their eyesight. Sometimes they have it for a little while, and it appears to disappear, and then it comes back again. And gradually, as it grows worse and worse, it takes possession of the poor person, and they are helpless in this respect, too, under this disease. Then we have what we call Bell's palsy. Now, this affects the facial muscles of people. I've seen a woman, almost every week I meet her in the A&P. She has this whole side all pulled to one side. Otherwise, she's all right. But this probably is this disease, a facial palsy. The muscles have been affected in some manner, and she has lost the use of her facial muscles. This likewise causes the different other diseases in people. Mainly the cause of these paralyses are the nerves in the person. We all have what we call a nerve trunk. And when these nerves are damaged to a certain extent, they can never be regenerated. They never can be brought back to life again. And they affect people, especially when it affects the brain. Probably you know that if we have a hemorrhage on one side of the brain, while the other side of the body becomes lame. Vice versa, if it's on one side or the other side. This is the way it works. And many times people are affected with this when they have hardening of the arteries, when they have brain hemorrhages or strokes, then they likewise have this paralysis. There is likewise another paralysis called syphilis. This disease runs up the main nerve center of the body. It is filled sometimes with bacteria and certain other dreadful disease bugs, they call them, little bits of animals. They are running through the nerves and eating up the life of the nerve. And this causes this syphilis paralysis. Then we have what we call alcoholic paralysis. This is caused by people drinking too much alcohol, and the alcohol consumes all the oxygen in certain parts of the brain, and it affects the person with paralysis. But then we have another disease which a member of our church has, which is called, likewise, shaking palsy. It's called Parkinson's disease. This disease strikes people later on in life, and it usually is affected by either a hemorrhage, either by hardening of the arteries. Sometimes we read in the paper that we have an epidemic of sleeping sickness. According to physicians, after this epidemic has had its rage, many people suffer from Parkinson's disease after this. This disease makes the people shake. It causes them to lose a lot of movements in their bodies, and they likewise are not able to be cured of it. The book that I had, which was written in 1945, said that there was a drug out at that time that was called Cogitin. This controlled the tremor of the people that had this Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease is also brought on by a lot of overdoses of tranquilizers, which are used tremendously in our time. And when we get an overdose of this, well, then this disease usually appears after they've been using this quite often. I think I spoke enough to you now about this palsy. What sort of palsy that this man had, the Bible doesn't say. But he was perfectly disabled. He couldn't help himself. And we find that these four men, they had probably been talking to this man and talking to him about Jesus, about the wonders that he was doing, about his preaching, about how many miracles he performed, how many he healed. And this man, he not only had this disease, palsy, but he had something that God had brought upon him, and I wish he would bring this upon every one of you. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but this we read in between the lines. This man was convicted of sin. This was his trouble. Many times this man, he felt that he had sinned against God. It brought him in tears and in contrition, in sorrow before God, praying that God would forgive his sins. This man, being afflicted in this manner, he wasn't rebellious. He didn't stand up against God and blame God for his affliction, but he justified God because it was of sin that he had this disease. And many times this man, he was weeping and crying and brokenhearted, filled with sorrow because of his many sins. And these men that carried him now to Jesus, they had been speaking to him about Jesus. They had been telling him of how he had been preaching, that he was able to save sinners, that was why that he came into this world, and that he was willing to save to the uttermost all those that came unto him. And when he heard this man, he believed this. God gave him to believe that this person that these men were talking about was the Savior, was able to save, willing to save, mighty to save. And he believed that he was willing and mighty to save him. But yet, how could he get to him? Here he was lying on a bed, unable to walk, unable to go to him himself. And the Spirit of God excited in him such strong longings and such desires to be by Jesus that every day he was exercised in this way. And he spake to his friends probably about this. The Bible doesn't say this either. The Bible doesn't say just why that these men brought him to Jesus, or whether these men believed that if they brought him to Jesus, they wouldn't have to carry him anymore, that Jesus would heal him of his palsy, or whether he had spoken to them himself about his internal condition, and that he longed to be by Jesus, that he wanted to see him. Anyway, these men, in their kindness, they took him up on this bed, and they carried him to Jesus. When they got by the house where Jesus was inside, the house was full of people. The people were all standing outside of the house, too. They couldn't get him in. No matter how they pleaded with the people to get out of the way, nobody moved. There was too many. Well, what should they do? Should they take him back and bring him back some other time? No. But these men, they were by the Spirit of God used to bring this man to the feet of Jesus. And it was Jesus that was drawing this man that was on this bed to himself. He had to be brought to the feet of Jesus. And now these men, they couldn't get him in the house. So they held the council together and they decided that they would go up on the top of the roof. And they would break open the roof and they would let him down in the front of where Jesus was. They were persistent. They persevered in this. They didn't return back because the obstacles were in the way and the people were all pressing. No. But whether this house had a stairway on the outside or not, the Bible doesn't say either. In all probabilities, it did have. Those homes did have stairways. People had flat roofs. They had places up on the top of their roof where they sat. They could view the countryside, and likewise, they could walk and have some air in the evening. And now these four men, they took this man on this bed up the stairs to the roof. They probably were walking on the top of the roof, listening where the voice was coming from. Christ was inside of the house speaking. Everything was nice and quiet. And then, of course, the people inside of the house, they heard somebody walking on the roof. They were wondering what this was. Finally, they kind of located about where Jesus was sitting, and they began to break open the roof. They lift up the tiles, it says, and they broke the roof open. And after they had broken a hole into the roof and made it large enough, you can imagine what was going on inside of the house. All the people were looking up at the roof. They weren't listening to Jesus anymore. Their attention had been taken away from him, and they were looking up. What was going to happen? And now these men, they took this bed and they tied cords underneath it, and they let this bed down easily and slowly down right in the front of Jesus with this man on it. There, the man was now where he wanted to be, where he desired to be. These men, they had fulfilled their mission, and when Jesus saw these men and this man coming down, when he saw their faith, it says, this was faith for these men to carry this friend of theirs to the feet of Christ. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the man sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. How did Jesus know that this man was troubled about his sins? How did he know what this man wanted? This man, when he was lowered down, he did not say one word. He didn't ask him for anything. He just looked at Jesus. And I could picture this man looking at Jesus. He had such an eager look, such a longing look. He looked so sad. He was so emotional in his face. He thought in himself, I don't have to say one word to him. He knows what I came here for. He knows what's going on in me. And Jesus, he looked back at him. He looked at him with such a look of love, such a look of mercy, such a look of pity, of compassion. He looked upon him with this, there is one that the Father has chosen from all eternity. There is one who has been crying and sighing and groaning for the forgiveness of his sins. There is one for whom I came into this world. There is one for whom I am going to plead and die on the cross of Calvary. All the look that Jesus transferred back to this man, what a look it was, my heavens. And with that look, he spake of these wonderful words, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. He called him Son. What a wonderful word, my hearers, for Jesus to use to any sinner. It's written in the Bible, Thou shalt be called my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. There was a son of God. He called him Son. Who can estimate the wealth, the riches, the blessing that there is in being called a Son by Jesus Christ? All my hearers, he again spake, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins, which thou hast had so much trouble about, which thou hast condemned thyself so much for, which thou hast justified God even if he sent thee to hell for. For those sins that have brought so many tears and so many sighs and so many groans out of your heart, those sins which you have committed and for which you justly deserve to be cast away, they are forgiven. I forgive them. I, against whom thou hast sinned, I who am able to do this, who have been given all power in heaven and upon earth, I who know that thy sins are so many, but I have paid for thy sins. I have loved thee, for thy sins are forgiven thee. What a wonder this must have been to this man. Anybody here listening to me saying inside, oh, I wish that Jesus would say that to me. Have you ever wished that? Have you ever brought it in prayer to him and said, Lord, you said to this man's son, thy sins are forgiven me. Say it to me. Oh, I've been wrestling so with the Lord that he would say this to me myself. I need this just as well as you. We all are sinners, and there's only one that can forgive our sins, and that's Jesus. I wonder how many here are troubled about their sins. This was the trouble with this man. He didn't come to be healed of his palsy. He didn't even say a word to Jesus. Not one word. He didn't ask him. Jesus knew his trouble. He knows your trouble. He knows what's going on inside of you. He knows whether you have any longings and desires and any prayers and any groans going out to him. Now, this was a set time for this man to find forgiveness. He found it in the proper place. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to have our sins forgiven us in this life. How many long for it? How many have any desire for it? You don't feel your sins. You're not troubled about your sins. Why? Because you're dead in trespasses and sins. Your sins don't burden you. Oh, how sad is the state and condition of so many poor sinners who realize not that they must answer someday for every sin that they have committed. It was by grace that this man was given the conviction of sin, and it was by grace that he was forgiven his sins. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, this must have been for this man. He must have wondered and wondered and wondered. He looked back at this precious Jesus in the front of him, and I could picture he had been so sad, he had been so solemn. Now his face was changed. It became like the face of an angel. Heaven radiated from his face. There was such a change inside by this man. Peace came into his soul. He found reconciliation with God through the blessed Jesus Christ who forgave his sins. He was filled inside with joy and peace in believing. Oh, what a wonder this must have been for this man. I think he completely forgot his palsy. He never even thought of it. He was just filled with this wonderful blessing that the Lord gave unto him. Oh, if the Lord should give you or I this blessing, my heavens, there would not be room enough for us to proclaim it to the people that we know. This man said nothing. Not a word. And then there were scribes and Pharisees gathered in this house who had come from Jerusalem. They had not come that they wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle, or that they had any love or affection to the ministry that Jesus taught. No, they came to criticize. They came to find fault. They came, if possible, to bring something back to Jerusalem concerning this prophet who had been so spoken of, so that they could take means to take him and kill him. This is what these scribes and these Pharisees had come for. And now when they heard Jesus speak so to this man, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. They began to reason in their minds. They didn't say anything, but they just thought this. Who is this that speaketh such blasphemy? It's only God that can forgive sins. Now, this what they said was true. The doctrine is true. This is blasphemy for you or I to say something to somebody else that your sins are forgiven you. We can't do that. It's only God's prerogative to forgive sins. This was true what they said. But they applied it falsely. They didn't believe that he was God, that he was the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. This they did not receive. And they spake in their minds and reasoned so that he was speaking blasphemy. It is blasphemy. Blasphemy is a horrid sin. Under the rule of Moses, the person that was a blasphemer, he was put to death. Blasphemy is injurious sentences and words against the Almighty. And this is what these Pharisees and these scribes said of Christ. But Jesus, he knew what was going on in their minds. Now this teaches us that he was God. There's nobody that knows what's going on in my mind and in your mind even at the present time. But Jesus knew what thoughts these men had. He read their minds. He knew that they were thinking these things. And immediately he spoke unto them and said unto them, why reason ye so in your hearts? This should have awoke them immediately. Who is this man? How does he know what we're thinking about? This didn't affect them at all. This didn't strike them at all either. He said unto them, which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say unto the man sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go to thine house. Which is easier? Now that thou may know, that you may believe that I am the Son of God, that I have authority to forgive sins, that I am not telling any lies, but that I am telling the truth. This is the way Jesus spake to these men. And he said unto them, that I have the authority and the power to forgive sins and likewise to say unto this man, arise, take up thy bed and go to thine house. That you may now believe this, he spake unto the man. And he said unto this man, arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house. And immediately the man took up his bed. He arose in the front of all the people, and he went to his house. And they glorified God, it says, all those that were present. They had never seen it like this before. Oh, this man, he had a double blessing. First, his sins forgiven. And then he was perfectly cured, perfectly made well. When Jesus said, arise, power went forth with the word. Or when he speaks, my heavens, then it comes with power divine. His word is a healing word in this respect to this man that had the palsy. And immediately his limbs, those that were paralyzed, they received strength. And immediately he stood up. He hadn't stood up maybe from when he was born. But now he stood up and he picked up his bed in the face of all these people that were viewing this. And he went out of the place to his home. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this man had, my hearers. A double blessing. Healed in the soul, healed in the body. Oh, if any man had reasons to glorify God, he had them. And you may be sure that he did glorify God, that he went out of that place, and it says all that were there were amazed, and they glorified God. Did they do it with their hearts? I don't think so. There was only one that did it with his heart. That was the man that was the man with the palsy. The others, they were amazed. They had never seen anything like this. This was a wonderful thing. But that they glorified God with their hearts. Oh, my heavens. We can't glorify God with our hearts unless he gives us to do so. But they, in this respect, wondered and amazed at what had taken place. They had to say, we never seen anything like this. And this man, he went back to his house with his friends. The day was dark. The people left the house, and likewise the Pharisees and scribes. Did they go away from there wondering and amazed at what had taken place? I'm afraid not. He had put them to shame. He had spoken to them. He had proved to them that he was the Son of God, and they didn't want any part of that. They were enemies of him. Oh, my heavens. What a wonderful story I've been telling you. The story? No, it's the truth. It's history out of the Bible. It's something we can rely upon. Something probably that some of you have experienced in your life. This man, he had been afflicted with this dreadful disease, palsy. I said it had made him unable to do anything. He was paralyzed. We, in and through the deep fall in Adam, we have received a terrible disease, my hidden sin. In and through sin, we have fallen dead before God, unable to do anything spiritually. Totally ruined, totally destroyed. We have done this ourselves in sinning against God in Adam, our covenant head. Oh, what a sad state we are in, my hearers. There may be some amongst my hearers that have likewise been afflicted by the hand of God. God laid some sickness, some disease upon you. He brought this upon you in his providence. And when you were so afflicted and so in fear that probably your life would be taken away, you cried to God that he would spare you, that he would heal you, that he would make you well again. And God in his mercy did so. I know some of you have experienced this. And when this took place, oh my heavens, you were filled with wonder and amazement. But there was one thing lacking with you. What was that? How long did this last? That you were filled with wonder and amazement at God. There are probably others that you knew that had the same sickness, the same affliction, and God took them away. But you were spared. You were raised up again. But as you went on in life, you completely forgot what God did for you. Oh, we're so forgetful of God and of his blessings. But there was one thing lacking with this, my heaven. Your sins were not forgiven you. You were made well, physically, mentally well, but your sins, you had no trouble with them. You had not cried to God to have them forgiven. You were concerned about your bodily affliction. Oh, how many, my heaven, forget God in his goodness and in his mercy, which he has shown to you in many things in this life. But how few, my hearers, how few, and it's rare to meet a person that's troubled about their sins that need Jesus. All we see here, the wonderful pity and compassion that Jesus has for sinners. Oh, he is willing, he is able to saved to the uttermost. And this he showed even to this man. He promptly forgave him his sins. Oh, may you all be brought by the Spirit of God under conviction of sin. May you all be given the godly sorrow for your sins. I could wish this on every one of you. Oh, that the tears would flow down your faces and you would cry to God, what a sinner I am. Do you, my hearers? Are there any of you that are troubled in this way? I am afraid they're rare to find in this life. It's only God that can bring this upon us. Oh, that God would again pour out his Spirit upon his church as he did on the day of Pentecost, when so many were struck in their very souls and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Spared in life, given health and strength again, and unmindful of him who has done it. Unmindful of your own soul's condition that you need to be saved, shall it be well for eternity. All this man, he was brought by these four men to the house where Jesus was. So you have to be brought by him. The Spirit of God has to bring us to Christ. Jesus himself said, and maybe this has troubled you as it troubled me many times, Jesus has said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." God the Father must draw us to his Son, reveal his Son in us, and give us to hear his voice speaking to us, and give us to believe in him. Oh, my believer, this man was given this grace. This man with the palsy, he came to Jesus. He came by his friends through all the obstacles that were in the way. It says he came through the press. Oh, there are many things that press a person, especially when they are coming to Jesus. The first thing that presses them is their guilt, their sins. Will he receive such a creature like this? Will he have anything to do with somebody as I am? Oh, their unbelief, their doubts, these crop up, and they press against the soul, trying to speak to the soul and say, "There's no forgiveness for you. You'll never receive the likes of you." Or they listen so to these voices because there are so many sins that they commit and which make them worthy that he shouldn't have anything to do with them. These things press a person. Are they pressing you? Have you any of these things going against you? Unbelief, doubt, fear, Satan. Oh, my goodness. The guilt of sin, the filth of sin, the love of sin, all the practice of sin, these things press against a person. Or they make a person fear they'll never be received by God. But here we have Jesus. He received sin. He received this man. The man never said a word. Oh, how many sins he had committed, he knows. But Jesus knew he was willing to forgive them all, and he is to this day, my hearers. He's the same loving, compassionate, and pitiful Jesus. Oh, if you are a sinner and you are coming to him, there will be a time coming that you likewise will find forgiveness at the feet of Christ. Oh, that God may give us all that come to him and find what this man found. He was healed spiritually. He was healed physically. A great blessing, my dear. The Lord bless this feeble instruction to your immortal souls. For his name's sake, that's all for today.